Hey yo, and here we go. Welcome to another episode of We Talk Music. I am your host, Mr. Brett Podcast, but I am happy today to be bringing you a new special guest. This guest plays bass. He has played bass with Elegy, and now he is with 7 Miles to Pittsburgh, and this is the band that we are talking about today, Martin Helmantel. Did I do okay?
That's correct.
Excellent.
Close enough.
Okay. I'll take it where I can get it. But Martin, how are you doing today?
That's good. I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. So yeah, we're here to talk about your new album, Revolution on Hold.
Right.
And that one came out October 11th. So, let's just jump right into it. And why don't you tell me about the album?
Well, after the first one, we basically tried to, tour. We did the promotion on the first one, and for the first one, we'd done a recording session for about, I don't know, more songs than we put on the debut. So it didn't take as long to jump into a new recording session and, you know, use the songs that we already had. So basically, before we knew it, we had a second album out, and that was Revolution on Hold.
Now, it's interesting to me because as I listen to this, and especially compared to the first album, I tend to feel like the first one had a few more heavier elements than this one does. But this one is kind of going off, in a little bit more of a different direction. So was that it? Just something that you were working on with the songs, and you felt like certain songs worked better on a different album?
Well, the fun thing is that some of, like, 5 or 6 of those songs on the second album could have easily been on the debut album. So, you know, they were basically written in the same period of time. So, in all respect, some of the songs could have been on the debut. So, the mix of the two albums, you know, it could have been a double album, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Now, when you're writing songs, why don't you tell me how the process of songwriting goes for the band?
Well, the songwriting, we basically just start out with anybody who comes up with the idea, and we start working on it basically as a three-piece. With in the beginning, we just made demos, you know, on a home recorder, tried to find the old-fashioned way, tried to find a record label and tried to find a studio. And with all the things changed over the years, we decided to just build our own studio and do everything ourselves and be the record company ourselves. So what we did is we still work, the three of us, basically Andrew, Joris and me, go into the studio and we just, you know, accumulate a couple of ideas that we've, you know, pre-recorded in the past and start working on those until they form songs.
Now let's talk about the members of the band. Now, I mean, Andrew, of course, has been performing for a long time as well. How did the two of you come together?
Right. Well, Andrew, I mean, pretty much had a big stint with the Sleazebees. They've pretty much did very well over in Europe as well as the United States. They had a big they toured in the United States. They lived there for a while even. So the best known name out of all of us basically is Andrew. But the others are Andrew I've known for as long as I can remember almost. And the thing was, we always said we would do something together. You know, we would start recording Samsung, but it kind of never happened because we both had our own bands, and at one point we were in a cover band together and we played a lot. And he said, at one point when I found yours to work with, that we said, you know, we need a singer. We start recording, we need a singer, and my first choice was Andrew. And when the first album was out, at one point we just said, you know, it became a bit more successful than we and sooner than we thought, and all of a sudden we were getting all these gigs offered, and we said, you know, now we have to take the show on the road. And our first option was to you need a drummer and a keyboard player. And our drummer, of course, was the guy I'd been working with in Elegy for 17 years, Derek Breinenberg. And he is, basically he was our first option. And thank God he said yes after he heard the album. And, Remco we found because he was a Hammond player that had already worked with Andrew in a Physical Graffiti, a Led Zeppelin tribute band from Holland. So when all those big pieces fell together, that's basically when the band was really formed as a unit.
Now, being from Holland, What's it like to try to, I guess, get your music heard outside of Holland? And, like, is it easier into Europe? Is it easier into, like, North America? I would assume is a little bit more difficult.
Well, to be honest, it's nowadays with the internet, and of course the songs are on Spotify and that on all the digital platforms out there. So basically, anybody that knows us from the past and who hooks up with us every now and then through the social media can get on the web and can get on Spotify or any of the other digital platforms and listen to our music. So it's kind of depends on we're getting reactions from all over the globe that people are listening to our music. So in that aspect, it's become easier for us to promote our music. But on the other hand, there's so many good bands out there, which also makes it difficult to stand out, so, and we're not having a big record label promoting you and doing advertisements. That kind of gets difficult every once in a while, so you have to get out there and give it time and build up from the ground.
Yeah, of course. And I guess the flip side of that,
it's difficult sometimes.
Well, yeah. So the flip side of that, I think, to me then is like, what's it like to get on tours? Like, is it easy? And do you have to kind of make those calls and try to get yourself on the tours?
Well, we did get some, just a few things offered to us as tour wise, but nowadays it's more or less just buy-ons. If there's a bigger band touring, they basically look for the opening bands to cover some of their touring costs, which happened in the past before. That's not a problem. But so far, the shows we've done are last year we did some festivals, and when we did the debut album, and doing festivals will get you new shows, and we're just trying to do as much shows as possible, which is not always easy. You have to, like I said, just build up your following, do good shows, and just keep at it, and just do the best you can, and hope for more shows.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to those shows and the music that you put and that you're playing live, obviously you have the first album, and now you have the second album. Is there other songs that you do, say, like from Elegy? Do you do any Sleazebees, Led Zeppelin, even?
Nope. Pretty much. I mean, how are we going to play all these old Elegy songs? This is all this prog and I wouldn't want Andrew to sing like in a falsetto kind of James LaBrie kind of voice to cover those songs. But now we never even thought about doing songs from our previous bands, because we have enough material now with two albums to do a good live gig. And what we did However, when we did the debut album, of course, we had 45 minutes of music, and sometimes they you get a show off for a festival to play an hour. So we started playing Think, and we added one cover song, which was Tom Sawyer by Rush. Mm. If you cover a song, you better get a good one.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you can't do much better than Rush, so...
Damn right, yeah, and it's not an easy song to get down, but you kind of give it your own twist, you know, you don't play it exactly like Rush, and, you know, we're not Rush, so, you know, but it's a challenge, and it's fun, everybody knows the song, everybody loves it, you know, Rush stopped playing a few years ago, so we'll take it over from there, you know, we'll play... or the occasional Rush tune if we can, and it's just an extra that we put in the set, you know, maybe as an encore, and if we don't have to play it, we don't, but sometimes it's just a fun song to play.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking as a Canadian myself, then it's totally fine. You can take over some Rush.
thanks
Now, one of the things I noticed on Revolution on Hold is that I really feel like your playing is in the songs is really kind of bass forward, and I really like the sound of that, and that you're really driving the songs. Now, is that just me, or was that like kind of intentional?
I guess. I mean, you don't really. You want to just get an overall good sound, you know, and what we do is we sit together with you know, the band members, and we try and make a song give, you know, some songs are have a bit more Hammond organ in there just to give the songs a boost. Sometimes the guitars are featured a bit more because it's more of a rock song. It kind of depends on the song, you know. If there's some songs that are a bit more bass driven, that's true. But I think the overall sound should be, you know, it should complement the song. That's basically what we're trying to do.
Yeah, right. Of course. Now, another thing about the new album, like I love the cover, by the way, because I think the cover's awesome. When you talk about cool. The whole Revolution on Hold, and it's just like, you know, the propeller that's not actually propelling.
Right.
So, you know, it's right. Almost like one of those double meaning kind of things where you just look at it and it's just like, what does the? Oh, I totally get it now.
Yeah, right.
Now, when you're putting together an album, especially on your own label, what, you know, when it comes to the cover image and all that other stuff, like, what are you looking for?
Well, the most important thing is to get a, like, the first album cover we found through friends of ours that had been on a photo shoot in Yellowstone Park, and you want a picture that stands out, you know, you want something that kind of you feel comfortable, that kind of covers your, you know, the what your music is trying to say. So you don't want to go back into the cliches of, you know, the skulls and whatever, you know, the screaming. If you go into a record store nowadays, if you can find one, you know, is basically you see all these metal albums, and a lot of those metal albums, you can see by the cover what kind of music it is. You know, if you see, for instance, like a black metal album, you can't read the logo. That's their, you know, that's their thing. You have to figure out the logo, what the band name is, you know, and it's almost black and white covers. And if it's kind of, you want to step away from that and just get a bit of a, you know, you want the image to look good. You know, you want a cool looking picture, and you want people to, like you said, just do your Revolution on Hold. And of course the propeller is not moving, you know, give people something to look at and something to think about.
Yeah, because it's so important to stand out, and I mean, also your name, of course, 7 Miles to Pittsburgh is not the not your typical band name anymore. I mean, it's certainly not like not like Elegy.
Well, it took us about. We must have gone through a dozen band names just to find out that all the good ones are already taken. You know, so that's the most difficult part of this whole band was forming this band. I mean, the music was there and everything, the musicians were there, but we had to find the band name. That was the most difficult thing we had to find. And basically, we just took the first sentence from the song Pittsburgh, and it kind of had a cool ring to it, and you know, people are still asking about it. It's just, you know, it's a good conversation piece.
Oh, absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, I mean, hey, the first thing you need is somebody talking about your band. So, I mean, this is as good a place to start as any.
All right.
Now, when you were trying to, I guess, come up with a sound for the band, did you guys already know how you wanted to sound and the type of music that you really wanted to play and the way you wanted to play it?
Not really.
No.
In all honesty, we had the songs, and the debut album, we pretty much, I recorded all the acoustic guitars. I did a bunch of rhythm guitars. Yours ended up playing a lot of bass guitars and some Hammonds and, you know, all the drums. And so it was kind of like, whoever was in the studio, whoever had the guitar, was playing the guitar. So we never really thought about having a structure for the first album, at least. So the songs came out kind of in a spontaneous way of you know, the way we recorded them, or the way we wrote them. You know, somebody had an idea, we started jamming on it, and it sounded good. Let's record it. For the second one, we basically said, you know, we have the structure of all the songs. Everybody will record their own parts, and you know, it works out well. And you kind of have the you know, once you have a sort of a we don't want to be have a blueprint that we have to stick to. You know, there's songs on the albums that kind of are different from what people expect us to play. You know, like on the first one, we had a 21 Grams, which was very ballady like song, and now we have I Feel Your Pain and songs that people, you know, we don't want to limit ourselves to a certain style. And I think that's important. If you can step outside your comfort zone and do something a little bit different, and it still comes out great.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, it's interesting when you mention I Feel Your Pain. Like, that was the song, the first time I listened to the album, that was kind of the song that I gravitated towards. But I think now it's like Only a Fool is probably the one that sticks with me the most at this point.
All right. I mean, some people, we've had some reviews in Holland, and you talk to people after a few months, or after a few weeks, and they first started listening, and they like, you know, the Bad Enough and Olympus, and they kind of learn to appreciate the other songs as well. And you know, it's kind of what mood you're in, and of course, I Feel Your Pain is a completely different mood than a rocker like Think or you know, Bad Enough. So it's kind of, I mean, there's something in it for everybody,
yeah,
for every mood.
Well, and I think as well, it's just you know, like you say, with the moods, it's where, like, am I listening, like, what am I feeling when I listen to it today, and certainly 2 weeks from now, when I listen to it again, then I will hear something totally different, and I think that's that's really cool, is the fact that there is a lot going on the album, and I think that multiple listens are almost required to pick up on a lot of those things.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's be honest, my favorite albums are like that. You know, if you listen to the, you know, the older Rush albums, for example, or you keep on hearing things, you know, if you listen to an older Queensryche album, you hear these things, and there's also different moods and everything. So, I mean, those are usually albums that take a few listens to, you know, that stick with you the longest. So I like hearing that.
Well, now that brings up an interesting point to me, because I mean, of course, so many people are talking about, are interested in singles and that kind of thing. So I think, is it more difficult to promote an album that has, that really should be listened to multiple times as an album?
I guess. I mean, we've never done anything else. You know, we've only. We're an album band. We're not a singles band. I wouldn't feel comfortable putting out just one song, because, you know, if what song of any of the two albums would represent us as a band? Sometimes we were asked to put a song on a sampler for a magazine or whatever, and you think, what would be a good song to represent a whole album? I think that's very difficult. I was never somebody to just, you know, buy one song of an album or buy a single. Even when I was younger, I wanted to hear more of the band. I wanted to, you know, some of those bands that only have one good song on an album that you like don't seem to be the more interesting bands, to me at least.
No, and I totally agree. I'm the same way. It's like I love listening to albums. I love listening to discographies, even, because, you know, you do get to see like so much more, and the kind of the peaks and valleys, I guess, of the way the bands are playing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, how have like Elegy fans, Sleazebees fans, accepted 7 Miles to Pittsburgh?
To be honest, Elegy seems like quite a while ago, you know. And even though we've kept, you know, the name alive a little bit by doing some reissues and stuff, and doing some things with bonuses, and we even tried to do a reunion a few years ago, which this didn't work out. It's, I mean, musically, I think it's. Too far away from what Elegy used to do. I mean, we're more towards a little bit towards the musical style of Sleazebees, although it's very different from the Sleazebees too. But this is something that basically represents the music that me and Andrew and the other guys in the band were listening to when we were young. You know, I was brought up with listening to you know, Deep Purple and Van Halen, and you know, there's like I always said, there's nothing that rocks better in a band situation than a Hammond organ. You know, remember John Lord? I mean, once those keyboards and those Hammond organs would start, I mean, that whole song would just come alive. And I think that's one of the reasons that this band is together, because we all share a certain fondness for, you know, older music, so to speak.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting you bring up Deep Purple, because when I, you know, right away when I first started listening to the album and Bad Enough, I actually thought like, oh wow, this has a little bit of a Deep Purple vibe in it. So you know, it is because of the organ.
Yeah, it's. I mean, John Lord was more or less the guy who came up, or I mean, he had like a distorted Hammond sound, which. You know, there's a few more that play like that, but in rock he was pretty much he's an icon, of course. So
yeah, I mean, well, and is that something then that that as you play festivals and stuff like that, and you get to meet some of these people, like what's it like to be out on the tours and seeing all the different musicians? Like, is it kind of like a real community?
It's sometimes ish. I mean, you get to play festivals with a lot of, you know, younger bands that there's, I guess, there's kind of a generation gap. You know, the newer bands are just brought up, like you said, with putting out singles, and you're not really, you know, they can have an album out, but they're more focused on you know, social media and all that stuff. And you know, the so-called older bands that you hang out at, I mean, we still know a lot of bands from the past, and it's kind of like a reunion sometimes to you know, to come at a festival and see all these people that have been around forever and still playing the same kind of music. It's great. I mean, I managed to you know, we shared the stage festivals with you know, Adrian Vandenberg's new band, and I mean, that was fun to see, you know, older rockers and still coming up with exciting new music. So I'm all for it, and the festivals are just fun if you meet, you know, bands and musicians that you've known for years. It's always fun. It's like you know, going back to a high school reunion or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question Adrian Vandenberg's awesome, great player.
Yeah.
And I know that on your first album you toured with Tyketto, and Danny Vaughn is an awesome guy. He's a friend of the show, so I'm sure that must have been a fun tour.
Yeah, those were actually the first three shows we did, opening up for Tyketto, and you know, a great band, and we were happy that they gave us the opportunity to open up for them. And we did three shows with them. Really cool guys, and we did some great shows with them.
Now, do you have any fun stories about being on the road, whether it's with 7 Miles to Pittsburgh or Elegy or anything like that?
We have a lot of stories, but I mean, this would we'd be on the phone, I think, for the next 20 hours to we've toured with Elegy. You know, we were just a bunch of young kids, and to be honest, some stories, you know, there are the kind of like the Spinal Tap period that any band probably went through. You know, you end up at the wrong venue, or you know, you end up at the airport and you're missing a guitar player and stuff like that. You know, you're planning going on tour in Japan and the guitarist forgot his passport, stuff like that, and you know, you arrive there and his luggage is not there, and I mean, we could go on any cliche rock story. I pretty much, we went through it. I mean, the guy you should talk to about good stories on the road is probably Andrew. He can tell you stories about the Sleazebees days, that old, I mean, he could write a book about it.
Well, that sounds fantastic. You know, because as a music fan, for sure, like there's really nothing better than hearing the crazy stories, and you realize, like, lots of people I know, when you talk about Spinal Tap, they think like, oh yeah, sure, I mean, that happened a little bit, but it's like you don't realize that it happened a lot.
It did. And the funny thing is, I saw you know, an interview with Ozzy Osbourne. He said he went to go see Spinal Tap, and he said he was the only one in the whole cinema that wasn't laughing because all that stuff happened to him. You know, and I can relate, because even like the, you know, the arguments in a band situation, and it still happens. You know, you can get in an argument over nothing, and that's, you know, the good thing about nowadays, we have people that don't get in arguments anymore. You know, we've been through all that, so we don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, I guess that makes total sense. So what then, is there one piece of advice that if you could go back in time, like, and tell your younger self one piece of advice, like, what would that be?
Probably we should have just, in those days, we should have just been more focused on the business side of things. To be honest, now you have to be, you know, we're our own record company. In the past, you would have a record company that would forward you some money. Basically, they give you a loan, and it'll take forever for you to you know, to pay it back. And, well, nothing really change. You know, in the past, you would get screwed over by the record company, and now you're getting screwed over by Spotify. So same thing. You know, there's nothing. It's just we would focus more on the business side when we were, with our older previous acts, because, you know, the Sleeves sold about 1.5 million CDs, and even Elegy sold 250,000 CDs in the heyday of, you know, CD sales, you know, so we were really happy to be part of that. But, you know, if I could change anything, go back in time, is that, you know, be more of a businessman.
So what was the hardest thing to learn then about the business as you had to kind of take that stuff over?
Well, basically now you do everything yourself. You know, you're your own promotion. Thank God we found people in Europe. We work with Theo Samson, who is a really great promoter. In the U.S., we work with Dustin Hartman, that you obviously know. And these are people that really live and breathe rock music. You know, and they know everybody. And these are people that you really need to work with. To help you basically with promoting your product. And in the past, it would just be a guy in an office, and you would be the next in line that they would have to promote. So the difficult thing now is, because of course you have a more of a personal attachment to your product, you need to be spot on about how do you advertise, you know, who does the distribution, who do you want to work with. It's a lot more hands-on work for the people who are also just want to play music, you know, we started out to just have fun and play music, and obviously the business part of things, that's you know, you have to be into it, you have to just take that in and focus on that. So start your own record company, you know, be your own promotional, be your own, you know, website, be your own magazine, do, you know, promote yourself in social media as much as you can, just to get your music out there. And that's, I think, the big difference is, in the past, you would just hand over your product to a record company, and that was your job done. I'll wait for a call to do your gigs, you know. And now it's, you want to know everything that all the possibilities that are out there.
Now, does it make a difference, because Andrew, of course, is being a tour manager for other bands, and, like, you know, do certain members of the bands kind of just of the band take over certain roles?
That goes naturally, you know. Me and Andrew and yours are pretty much the guys who started the whole band, and that kind of means that you take on the role of organizing and everything, because, you know, that's a way of just the natural progression, so to speak. Andrew's always been into the organizing and making, you just want to make sure that everything's all right, you know, and there's always people that do that and do a good job at it. Well, Andrew does a good job at it, you know. He's a very good tour manager. You know, he still has a lot of contacts, but, you know, unfortunately, he's gone a lot too. I think he's on tour with Kenny Wayne Shepherd right now. So it's kind of, you know, he has a lot of contacts, but he also has a lot of, that's basically his job, is being a tour manager. So kind of limits us a little bit in our possibilities to tour. But, you know, that's a given, and that's how we take it.
Yeah, I guess you kind of have to, you know, take the good with the bad, and, you know, I mean, you've got a really good band, so it's just like, you take that really good band and you at least tour when you can, right?
Yeah, exactly, and everybody needs to make a living, and, you know, it's, so far we've been very blessed of doing really good shows and having if you would have asked me after the debut album, came out, if we were doing shows, that we got some things offered, and all of a sudden he said, "Oh, now what? You know, now we have to form a band." And it was just for getting the music out so people can listen to it, you know, and then so it kind of it's also kind of a natural thing for us to. That was just the next step, and we were just happy to be in the situation that we were still getting shows offered, and you know we'll take it. You know, if we can play a good show somewhere, we will.
So, what can the fans expect when they go to see a 7 Miles to Pittsburgh show?
Well, I hope a very good show. We'll play probably. About 80% of all the songs so far that we've recorded, and maybe put in a cover song, and you know we'll what can they expect? I guess they'll have to come over and see us play. It's kind of difficult. It's kind of difficult to say. Some people say, yeah, you'll have the best pyro, and you'll have you'll have bombs, and we don't have all that. You know, we have just a good band, a backdrop. And some good old rock and roll music. That's what they can expect. And we'll play all originals and maybe the occasional cover song. That's basically what that's what we're in for, and that's what we're doing our best playing the songs that we've written, you know, and I think that's what they can expect. And another thing that they can expect is, which is probably an exclusive for you, it's a scoop that has not been revealed yet, but we were joking around about Andrew said, if you post something about your band on social media, you'll be happy to get like 100 likes or whatever reactions. But if you post like a picture of a beer, you'll probably get 500 likes because everybody likes that, you know. Yeah, so what we did was, you know, what if we combined the two? And from this next month, we'll introduce 7 Miles to Pittsburgh. Beer, and the beer will be available at our first show. There's a brewery here, a local brewery, that are that are rockers too, and they said they offer to brew us a special limited edition amber ale, and that's what's going to be the first edition of 7 Miles to Pittsburgh beer. So that's what they can expect.
Well, that's
a good rock and roll show and beer.
And beer. I mean, I think that's awesome. I think, especially in this day and age, the ability to kind of try to find different ways of promoting yourself and cross-promoting with others, I think that's awesome.
And, everybody likes a beer, let's be honest. And it's our way of trying to, generate some more interest in the band, and it's just a fun thing that we can, for the holidays, you can buy your 7 Miles to Pittsburgh six pack.
Well, yeah, can I get one of those in Canada? Is that?
I'm not sure. I probably have to import, but I'm not sure how that would work. But you can always come over for a show, and we'll get you a couple.
Well, now that sounds like a fantastic plan. I am totally down with that idea. Because then I get to firsthand see what a 7 Miles to Pittsburgh show truly is like. So.
Right.
Well, it's Martin, I tell you, it's been a great time talking to you, and I've really enjoyed sitting down and talking about the music. I just got a couple more questions for you, and then I'll let you go. But one of the things that I want to know, being with Elegy for 17, 18 years, and now now being in this new band, how hard is it to keep a band together?
Well, it's a lot easier now because we basically handpicked the musicians ourselves. You know, I know from experience. I've worked with Dirk, of course, as a drummer. I've worked with him for many, many years, so I know what to expect. I know that this is somebody who I can trust. You know, as far as keeping a band together, he's been there from the very beginning till the very end. Andrew, I've known for many, many years, so I mean. He's more than just a colleague. He's become, you know, one of my best friends, as well as yours. You know, he's become, I've probably one of the people that I've known. Of course, Remco I've known not so long because he was in Andrew's band, but also just people that are so committed to the music, are just a joy to work with, you know. And in the past, I would be, you know, Elegy was, you know, one of the first serious band I was in. But there were a bunch of lineup changes, and it's always difficult to, you know, if you're in a band like that, you never know if the people that are in the band are in the band because we have a record company and we're a touring band. And so nowadays it's like, you know, I handpicked these musicians myself that we're working now with in Seven West of Pittsburgh, and they're just a great bunch of guys. I mean, even if we wouldn't play, it would be a cool day to hang out with them at a festival or a show, you know. We'd still have a fun time even if we wouldn't be playing.
and you could drink the 7 miles to Pittsburgh beer.
That's right.
Now, do you get a chance to, like, do you live somewhat close? Do you get the chance to hang out outside of playing time very often?
Well, you know, imagine we live in Holland. It only takes about, you know, from my house an hour and a half to get to Dirk's house, the drummer, who's probably the farthest away from me. Andrew lives about 30 minutes from where I live, and yours lives about, I mean, 10, 12 minutes, and I think Remco lives about 45 minutes. So we do, of course, the most time you hang out is with, you know, if there's a birthday or, you know, but then again, you know, we're in the rehearsal room a lot, in the studio. We're working on new material as we speak. You know, we get to hang out all the time, so yeah. it's pretty cool. And you know, if there's a, for example, last month we had a Queensryche play in Eindhoven. As you know, you may have heard, we've toured with Camelot in the 90s, end of the 90s. And Casey Grillo happens to be the new drummer in Queensryche. He's been with them for a couple of years now. And so Dirk comes over and spends the night at my place, and we go to see Queensryche in Eindhoven. And that's, you know, events like that, you know, we always hang out together.
No, that's really cool. Now you...
Yeah.
You say that you're working on new music. So is this like stuff carried over from the Revolution on Hold sessions, or is this like brands making new music for a next album?
Oh, well, there's a lot of new material. There's a lot of new ideas already, and I'm pretty sure we may have some, you know, old stuff on the shelf somewhere that'll pop up, you know, open up some file and say, oh, let's see what's in here. And we discover there's some old gems that we haven't used yet. Pretty much, I don't think... I mean, we're in this for the long run, you know. There's a lot of talent in this band. I've noticed that yours is putting more and more into songwriting these days, and of course, with a studio of your own, you can just basically go in, record some ideas. If they're you know, if you don't get to use them this time, we'll use them next time. So that's also a good thing about, you know, in the past you would just, as a band, you go in a rehearsal room, you just jam out a couple of songs, and you go into a studio which you paid for, so you have to have a product done. This is just, you know, we go into the studio when we want to, we record the ideas that we want to, and we decide as the record company, you know, that when it's going to be released. You know, when are we going to use it? We have no deadlines. If it's done, it's done.
Yeah,
that's the cool thing about nowadays. You can do that.
Yeah. No, that's totally awesome. And I just like the fact that you know it doesn't necessarily have to be for this album. Maybe in two years, your ideas might be totally different,
right,
and
right.
You can look at it with fresh eyes and just be able to say, oh, now I totally understand what the song needs. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, we've had a few songs that we were just thinking of, you know, it was just missing that one part, and we decided not to use it on the first one, and now it's on the second one. So that's the way it goes, and you know, never throw anything away, you know, because you never know when you might need that idea, that one riff that you've been missing on a new song. You never know.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Martin, like I say, thank you so much. I want to give you the chance to tell the fans where to find 7 Miles to Pittsburgh online and how they can get the album.
All right. Well, thank you, Brad, for having us and for a very fun interview. People can contact us through our website, 7mtp.nl. Or through the Facebook page, or hit us up on Instagram. You know, social media is everywhere. Our music is everywhere on all the digital platforms. You can buy our CD if you like. You know, the LP on vinyl is going to be released, I think, next week in the U.S. as well. So we have it all. You can get it all. And hopefully you enjoy the music.
Well, I enjoy the music, so that's a great start. And I do absolutely urge fans of rock music and especially, you know, with a little bit of progressive elements to give you guys a listen, because Revolution on Hold is an excellent album. And so I think that, everybody should listen.
I think so, too. We agree.
All right.
Thanks a lot, man.
Well, thank you so much, Martin, and all the best in the future. And I look forward to coming over there and tasting some of that beer.
You're very, very welcome.
All right. I'll talk to you later, then.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Okay, thanks.
Chains, I feel.